This is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Thank you, Pastor April. I should first apologize for having to sit in the back. My family and myself were in the process of recovering from a bug that hit us fairly hard. So I was concerned. Of course, I have my sanitizer in hand, and I'll be giving hugs instead of handshakes. And in case the Lord called, I needed to be able to proceed properly. So, he didn't call yet, but... Thank you, Pastor April, for the invitation. Thank you to the staff of PBUMC for allowing me to be here. And thank you to all of you for giving me this opportunity to talk this morning. It's really wonderful to be here. This church is so dear to my heart, as are the members of the congregation and the staff leadership team and, of course, our pastor. This is a welcoming and inclusive community. We're troubled souls, freaks, geeks and clowns. By all of this, I mean people like me, can rub shoulders with the kind-hearted, the spiritually developed, the beautiful-souled, and by all of that, I mean you. Remember, I'm a guest preacher, so I can't. PBUMC is a community. And my message this morning, simple and hopefully brief, and I understand that Malia and Vicky have passed out tomatoes in case it is not. My message this morning is focused on that topic, community. Now, we heard in today's reading that Pastor April gave from the book of Isaiah, prophetic words, which testify to God's concern, God's bond of loving commitment, which keeps the faithful in community, persevering through challenges and problems and travails. So if I just go back to verse 1b again. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Pass through the waters, walk through fire. We have to say, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to get swallowed up by the waters. He says, well, no, they're not going to do that. I don't want to walk through the fire. Not a pleasant experience. You know, water, maybe I'll wade in the Pacific for a little bit, right? But I don't want this, you know, floods, frightening, fire. We know about fire in Southern California, and I don't want that. I was, no, you're going to deal with it. You're going to face it. You're going to get through with me. Verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. He said, wait a minute. Oh, stop there. Gather us up. What happened that the community has been scattered east and west, north and south? That's not a pretty picture we're seeing here. God said, no, I'm going to bring you all back. I mean, this is a really nice promise, but this is an unnerving prophecy. The promise is that God's going to be with us, but the prophecy is it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. God will deliver and keep us together, but the community must endure through all of these problems. Now, just imagine that. Problems in a community of people. Well, you know, hopefully we know that communities will always have problems. External challenge as well as internal ones. And this indeed is perfectly fine. Passionate, loving people can disagree and they can get angry with one another. Just ask my wife, but she's working on it. Okay. She's not here, right? So it's a joke. It's a joke. All right, we're all in recovery down home, but me. Disagreements within a community need not mean one side is bad or another side is good. Though we often like to portray things like that in popular society. You know, we're in a world we love to vilify and demonize those that don't agree politically or socially or religiously, theologically, all these different ways. Demonization, vilification. But that's not the way of the faithful. That's not the way of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. And I know I've come to see in my own limited experience that whenever I'm meeting with others in an academic setting or an ecclesiastical setting or whatever, whenever two or three are gathered together, that I expect there will be disagreement. I go in expecting that. That's just the norm. Right? I mean, that's perfectly fine, and that's what will be. And our constructive goal, then, must be to seek understanding, not vilification, demonization. How can we understand one another? Rather than storm out, one option, or seek to silence and to dominate those that disagree, another option, fight or flight, kind of my way or the highway, so to speak. That approach tears the very fabric of community. But by staying in community, we have the opportunity to grow through our differences, through our challenges, through our problems. But you can ask, oh, wait, I want real, authentic community. I want a righteous community. And from my study, you see, I believe real Christian community needs X, Y, and Z. We must do this and that. We must not do that and this. And let me tell you, with whom he's doing that, or she's doing this. It's so easy to kind of set up this perfect community in our mind and try to force that on others. And I confess that I have been a victim and a victimizer of this kind of reasoning, this kind of thinking. As we strive to set ourselves up as the architect of the Tower of Babel that is our imagined community. We seek to build this little Christian utopia sometimes. And the history of the past century and a half is filled with attempts to create perfect societies. Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Jim Jones, it continues down to the present, right? They wanted to create this perfect society they had in mind. And today we have new names and new lands and new armies working for their perfect society with bullets, explosives, and violence. They're architects of utopia. Whether on national levels or on congregational ones, leave a trail of destruction, anger, hurt, division, resentment. Who must be hurt or silenced or excluded so that the architect justifies my vision can be realized? You know, it seems in congregational life, when we try to build the perfect community, we inevitably fail. However, when we forget all about that, these models and theories and ideas, and we focus simply on loving the person sitting next to us. Loving the one who disagrees as well as the one who agrees. The one who dresses alike as well as the one who dresses differently. When we love a freak and a geek and a clown like me, we have community. When we focus on love, on relationship, community emerges. And when we focus on community, sometimes it simply falls apart. But by staying in community, we have the opportunity for real growth as we're challenged by one another. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, he defined hell as other people. We call that church. To be in community is to allow ourselves to truly love those around us and to be loved. And it sounds all nice, you know, but it's really scary. Jean Vanier is this most inspiring, remarkable human being. He's a man that has devoted his life to living in community with those who have severe mental disabilities, groups of people that have been excluded, marginalized by society. They are the building blocks of his worldwide communities, and he lives in such a community. He's the founder of L'Arche, the Ark, this community, this worldwide community of those with impairments and those with lesser impairments all living together, including himself. Vanier explains that to love is to make us vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, we are confronted by the reality of our own fragility. And this we do everything in our power to hide through facades and projections of power and perfection. Our ego doesn't want to admit how fragile we are. It's terrifyingly disorienting to take off the mask. If I make myself vulnerable, if you were to know what a freak and a geek and a clown I truly am, would you love me? And would you let me love you? We do everything possible not to be vulnerable. And here we are in a community which celebrates every single day that God, in all his power and glory, so loved the world that he emptied himself to come into this imperfect, scary world as a child. Talk about vulnerability. And there's our model and our opportunity for community to develop. As we discover the vulnerability of ourselves in community, we discover the vulnerability of God. And as Vanier says, if God is love, then he is terribly vulnerable. Jesus needed the community to tend to him. And we are the community that tends to him in each other, in everyone here and everyone not here. In liberals as well as in conservatives, in extroverts and introverts, in the impaired as well as the lesser impaired, in the freaks and the geeks and the clowns and every other possible shape and size and image. It's not the absence of difference, after all, and disagreement that weakens the community. It's the absence of vulnerability and love. Listen, I hear the Lord calling. Just wait one moment. With a confession of who I truly am. And I hope that you can accept me and you can help me become more of who I am, namely a geek and a freak and a clown. In Isaiah, God promises to gather us all together because the Lord says, I love you.
Lord Jesus, we are united by your grace, not by your rules, not by our efforts, but by your grace. God is the one who gathers us in. And Lord, we gather with you. We are all those who have been immersed in those waters that did not overwhelm us. We emerged from the water as your people. And you have promised that even should the day come when we have to walk through fire, you will be with us. We thank you for these wonderful promises. We thank you for coming to be with us where we are. We thank you for helping us to focus on your love and grace and mercy. And we join in praying the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.